You're listening to Killer Queens, a true crime podcast. Some material may be disturbing, and we do use adult language. Listener discretion is advised.
To get access to new episodes, subscribe to the show wherever you listen to podcasts.
Get in on the conversation on Instagram and join our Facebook discussion group at Killer Queens Podcast, where we discuss cases covered on the show and all things 90s. But don't take our word for it.
Now on to today's case.
Oh, man.
Shanann Watts and her two daughters, 3-year-old Celeste and 4-year-old Bella, vanished on Monday. Their startling disappearance triggering a statewide alert as police and the FBI focus on her home outside Denver, where she was last seen.
When I got home yesterday, it was like a ghost town. Like, she wasn't here. Kids weren't here. I have no idea, like, where they went.
Chris Watts, Shanann's husband, says his wife, who's also 15 weeks pregnant, came home from a business trip at 2 a.m. Monday. The couple having an emotional conversation, he says, before he left home around 5 a.m. Watts says Shanann never returned text messages later that morning and never answered the door when her friend arrived at the home at noon. Watts says he knew something was wrong.
I was trying to get home as fast as I can. I was blowing through stoplights. I was blowing through everything, just trying to get home as fast as I can because none of this made sense.
Police, who have searched the family home and area with dogs, say for now there are no significant leads. The 34-year-old doting mother's car still in the garage.
So leading up to the disappearance, to say that their marriage was unraveling would be an understatement. So on June 11th, after Shanann said they discussed having a third child, like in a lot of detail, and really sat down together and made the decision, like, should we have another kid? Should we not? And they decided to try to get pregnant. So on June 11th, she posted a Facebook video announcing that she was pregnant with her third child. And this is the video, like a lot of people have seen it, where she's wearing a shirt that says, oops, we did it again. And when he comes home, he sees it. And he seems...
That's amazing that she did that.
Yeah, he seems like... He's like, really? Are you serious? And he's like, wow, well, I guess if you really want it, it happens. According to later police interviews, Chris said that the last time that he and Shanann actually had slept together was when they conceived this third child.
Oh.
So they're interviewing him in August and she...
15 weeks, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, this would have been like May. God. Because she announced it June 11th.
That's what, like almost 4 months?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
It's pretty bad.
It's worse than Ross. It's been 3 months, okay?
On June 14th, Shanann posted the now heartbreaking and it's almost eerily foreboding video of Bella in the car singing the song about her daddy being a hero. She's like, daddy, you're a hero. You're a hero through and through. I can't even like.
Yeah, don't.
A lot of people who have covered this case are like, everywhere that's out there, they post the video. I can't do it. I can't. I'm not going to splice that audio in. I will fucking sob. You will fucking sob. It's horrible.
I'm
just
doing you a favor by not like.
It's just so sad. Like to think that. And those girls are fucking spitting images of him. I mean, they are. And I can't. Okay. So anyway, so she posted that on June the 14th.
Yeah.
This is also the same day, though, that Chris enters Nicole Kessinger's contact information into his phone. So he worked with Nicole Anadarko. She was a contract employee. She did something in the safety department or some shit. And she worked in the office. He would come in from time to time to, like, get parts or whatever. Because he mostly worked on job sites. Bless you.
Thank you.
And June the 14th, he enters her contact information into his phone.
Eyebrow raised.
I'm so fucking pissed.
I wish that you guys could see her eyebrows right now.
You
want to
know who I'm pissed at? My husband.
Ooh.
Yep.
Oh.
I'm
plot
the kind
twist.
Of, yep. I'm the kind of woman who I can't watch Sex and the City without getting pissed at Andrew. That's why I don't watch it anymore.
Yeah.
It makes me question things. It is such a sad case, but it also makes you wonder, like, you think everything's okay, sure. And you think things are going okay, and you talk sure. with your husband, and you say, I want to have a third child, and you fucking get pregnant, and that's hard. She already has health issues. It's so hard to be pregnant. Like,
it's so hard on your body.
Yes. Yeah, it's so hard on your body, and, like, she's carrying this child, and she's doing what she can, and
And look, she's doing what she can for, like, her marriage.
Yes, she's working so hard in the marriage. And, like, if you read, like, how people describe Shanann, people who are friends with her loved her. It's not like they talked about her negatively, but they described her as a helicopter mom. The house and the family ran on a tight schedule. She ran a tight ship. Like, I think she was probably a little
financially, like, inept, maybe? Or
yeah. She was probably a little bit controlling. She probably had a certain way she wanted to do things.
Oh, sure.
And maybe Chris didn't want to be told what to do anymore. Like, I don't know. But all of those things aside, she is working so hard on her marriage. And I'm just so upset about it.
I know.
So
I'm not trying to say that, like, it's no one's fault that we did. I mean, I was just joking about it. Oh. Like, it's your fault that Torella's upset right now because we're doing this case. Like,
yeah. How do you feel?
No. It was just a joke.
Yeah. Just a joke. So on Father's Day, Shanann posted a tribute to Chris on Facebook, which a lot of people do. I'm typically about 4 to 5 days late on that kind of shit. I'm like, oh, by the way, happy Father's Day.
You're doing the best you can, though, girl.
Yeah. I've got 2 kids. But, you know, she's like, he's the best daddy us girls could ask for. And everybody,
everybody
around them said that he was a great father. He was a great husband. Like,
so why?
Yeah. People described him as like the father. And like, even her parents were like, we couldn't have asked for anybody better to marry our daughter. Like they thought he took such good care of her. It's scary. Mm-hmm. On June the 27th, Shanann, so this is when she goes to North Carolina, where both of their families are from. So she's going to stay for 6 weeks. Chris is going to come on the 6th week. So she's going to stay there 5 weeks with the girls, and they're going to see family. And then, because Shanann works from home, so she can do that. She can go back and take a trip or whatever. So then Chris is going to stay home. He has to work, and then he's going to take 1 week with them at the end. This is the beginning of the end. So, because we're at June 27th now, so June the 14th, he puts Nicole's information into his phone. Now they're talking. So, June the 27th, his wife leaves.
Piece of shit.
Yeah. Now he's got 5 weeks where he can just fucking do whatever he wants with his girlfriend. So, she goes to North Carolina for the 5 weeks, and then Chris is going to join him on the 6th week. During this time, Chris is a fucking bachelor. He's telling Nicole that he and his wife have already separated. They have not had this discussion yet. It's like been brought up that maybe we should, or maybe that's going to go somewhere. But at this point, that's not where it is. When Shanann left, and she tells her friends this in text messages later, she's like, when I left, he couldn't get enough of each other. Like, he seemed so in love. And like, toward the beginning of the trip, she would text him and be like, hey, I had a hard time getting a hold of you today. Is everything okay? And he's like, oh, no. It's just like somebody got fired at work, and so I've had a lot more responsibility. But I love you to the moon and back. I'm just stressed out or whatever. And she's like, okay. And then as time goes on, she's like not able to get in touch with him and stuff.
Well, in North Carolina and Colorado, that's such a big distance. Like,
oh, yeah.
How on earth could, I mean, not that he's a fucking bull, like, dipshit to do this, and like the worst kind of man to lie to his family and also to kill them.
Yeah.
But the situation kind of set itself up where
it did. And that's the thing, because it's like, it was already kind of a little bit rocky for him for whatever reason. And maybe the third kid was like, oh shit for him. Maybe it was because of the finances. I don't know. But
you know how you have children. Like, there's so many things.
Yeah, he meets this woman, and he describes to Nicole, at least, that he's never felt the way that he feels about her, about anybody else, and, like, all this stuff while he's still married.
Of course.
Yeah, and, like, he meets this woman. He's just, like, swept off his feet, and he meets her at work. Like, it just fucking, I don't know. Fuck you. Fuck you, Chris Watts.
Yeah.
So,
and also, I hope you burn in hell. I'm sorry.
He's going to.
Yeah. No, I know he's going to.
Okay. So on July the 4th, Nicole comes over to the Watts house for the very first time. So Chris invites her over, and he's like, hey, let's, he says he's going to cook her dinner or something, or lunch. So she comes over on July the 4th, and she says she doesn't stay very long. So he told her, my wife and I are already separated. We're in process of selling this house. I'm sleeping and living in the basement. And so she gets there and she's like, this is not comfortable for me. I can tell that your wife still obviously lives here, which he did tell her she did, but he says they're not acting as a married couple anymore or whatever. But she's like, you know what? I feel weird. I'm in somebody else's house. I don't feel like I should be here. They had lunch and then she left. She's like, I don't feel comfortable with it. Well, good for you, but whatever. Because then by July the 10th, Shanann is texting Chris asking what's wrong, telling him he's become distant. He tells her everything is okay, but, you know, by the time he gets to North Carolina, it's pretty much over. On July the 14th, Chris and Nicole go on a date to a car museum, and that afternoon, Shanann tries to call Chris four times, and he fucking ignores it every time.
While he's with his mistress.
Yeah, piece of shit. On July...
And that's such a man... I mean, not to say that some women don't love a car show. Because people do.
Yeah, like, so for her birthday, did he get her an Orelco beard trimmer?
I know. But maybe, I'm not trying to, like, make a generalization, but that was a date for him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that just goes to show maybe how fucking self-centered and self-absorbed he is. Where he's like, oh, you'd probably love to come watch me. I don't even know what the fuck would be, you know, like...
Look at cars?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah, ugh. Actually, wait till the next date they go on. Okay. I don't know, maybe.
I'll raise you the car show, and... Yeah.
On July the 18th, Nicole sends Chris a semi-nude photo of herself, and you can see in the picture, the picture's online, so she's, like, in her lingerie or whatever, and she's, like, standing in a doorway, and, like, she's in front of the mirror in the bathroom, and you can see that he took the picture of her, so he's, like, kind of in the background or whatever, but she sends him the picture. I guess he took it from her phone or something.
Looking it up now.
Oh, yeah. Nicole Kessinger. Semi-nude photo. What Chris did, a genius, is he got a calculator app that is fake. And when you type in a certain number, it's basically your passcode and it's all the files that you want to hide. So your wife doesn't know about your nudie pics. On July the 28th, they take a trip together to the Great Sand Dunes National Park and they camp out that night together. And then on July the 30th, Chris buys a romantic card and writes the lyrics to a song inside of it and gives it to Nicole before he leaves for North Carolina. And at this point, he's already said, I love you a few times. So literally in 5 weeks,
gross,
they're saying I love you and shit.
Gross.
On July the 31st, Chris flies to North Carolina to join his family. And while he is gone to North Carolina, she spends over 2 hours on Google searching for wedding dresses.
Oh, my God.
But she says it's not serious.
Okay.
It's not serious.
So that is so presumptuous and like so.
But I think he had been talking about it with her.
Well, sure. But it's like it's so quick.
It's very quick.
So I don't even know the right word for it. You know what I mean? Like jumping the gun and like getting into it. Like it's naive. At the very least.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure she feels really stupid about the whole thing.
I hope so, honestly. Like, yeah. I'm sorry, but get your shit together.
Right. So, before Chris's arrival in North Carolina, an incident occurred between Shanann and Chris's mom. I'm sorry, Chris's mom. I cannot remember your name. You're a bitch.
Yeah.
I hope you're listening.
I don't even know her and I hate her.
Yeah. So, this has to do with one of their daughters, Cece's severe nut allergy and Chris's mom serving everyone ice cream with nuts in it.
Hmm.
So
what?
Yeah. So apparently Cece is so allergic to nuts that if she even smells them, and there are people like this,
her name is Ronnie.
His dad's name is Ronnie. I thought
Cindy. I'm sorry.
It could be Ronnie. I mean,
it could. Ronnie's a woman's name. It's Cindy though.
It's Cindy. Okay. All right, fuck you, Cindy. So there are people who, like, that's why they don't do the peanuts on the plane anymore, because there are some people who are so allergic that if they smell it, they'll, like, go into anaphylactic shock.
Yes.
So, and they had to carry an EpiPen with them all the time in case some CC kind of an allergy. Yeah. So Shanann made it very clear she cannot have nuts. She cannot be around nuts. She cannot eat nuts. So what the fuck does Cindy serve? Ice cream with nuts in it. And she's giving it to everybody. And before Cece ate it, because of course she's little and she's just going to eat it if there's ice cream in front of her.
She trusts you implicitly.
Yeah. Shanann intervened and was like, fuck no, you're not going to eat this.
Thank God. Shanann's a good mama.
She is. And But I think what was going on is Cindy believed that Shanann made up the health problem. So I think she was trying to get under her skin and be like, she's going to eat it and it's going to be fine. And Shanann was like, yeah. And Shanann was like, fuck you. That's my child's well-being. So she took the girls and she left. And she was like, I'm not being here anymore. Well, okay. After that, Chris's dad, Ronnie... Okay. Fuck you too.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Unfriended Shanann on Facebook and blocked her. And then they had a birthday party for CC later at Shanann's family's house, and they were invited to it, and they chose not to go. And Chris then she texted Chris and told him about this because obviously she couldn't fucking get in touch with him because he's with his girlfriend and can't talk on the phone to his wife.
Well, sure.
But she had texted him and told him about it, and he basically
Like she's with his family at a fucking party and he's with his girlfriend.
I'm gonna burn your fucking house down. And I don't have a choice.
I cannot.
Like, no, yeah. It's fucked up.
Piece of shit.
I know. Like, so he's like, well, I mean, I understand what you're saying, but you know, he's like kind of trying to make light of it or whatever.
Then
Then when he gets to North Carolina, he's mad at Shanann because he feels like she has driven a wedge between him and his family. And he asks her at one point, well, can I bring the girls with me to visit my parents? And she was like, no, you cannot.
Because like, Cindy cannot respect the fact that, like, fucking Cece has a peanut allergy.
Right. And she's like, if she's willing to risk our child's life just to prove me wrong.
But obviously.
He doesn't care.
You know.
Right. So.
And maybe that's hereditary. You know what I mean? Like
maybe it is. Yeah. I mean, put a pin in Cindy and what a fucking bitch she is. Cause we'll come back to it.
I would love to put a pin in her.
Yeah. Ooh, does anybody have a voodoo doll?
I know, right? Yeah. Like how many pins can we put in her?
Exactly. So before the trip, they had, like we said, mentioned separation, but then while they were in North Carolina, she kind of, they went back and forth. After he got there, he was really cold towards her.
I'm not surprised. That's so a boyfriend that wants to, like, break up with a girlfriend. And they, like, get really distant until you break up with them.
Yeah, he wouldn't even hug her. He wouldn't touch her. He wouldn't kiss her. Like, he refused sex. She was telling her friends, like, he won't even have sex with me. All this stuff. Which is hard enough when you're pregnant. I mean, well, like, totally. You already feel like you're not attractive. Your husband is always like, it's so weird.
And really?
I have to feel the baby move all day, every day.
Yeah.
Get the fuck over it. Yeah. So it's already hard enough.
Women are so strong.
For sure. So he's like, wouldn't have sex with her, all this kind of stuff. Well, then they get back to
reality.
Colorado. And they go to an ultrasound appointment, which up until this point, Chris has been kind of like not having anything to do with the baby.
Yeah.
He goes to the ultrasound appointment, could not give more of a shit. Like, doesn't care about it. And not so Shanann is like, you know what? I'm canceling the gender reveal party we have. So on August the 9th, she canceled the party because she's like, obviously he's not excited about it.
That's so sad for
her. So she wanted her friend. She called her Nikki, the one who went to her house. Yeah. She was like, Nikki's just going to tell me what the gender is. Like, I don't want to have this party or whatever.
That is so sad.
It's really awful. On Friday, August the 10th, Chris took the day off work to take Shanann to the airport and to care for the girls while she was away on business. At about 3:05 p.m. that afternoon, he meets coworker Troy McCoy in a Safeway parking lot to exchange an Amazon Fire Stick. During the meeting, Troy got a call from another coworker, Cody Roberts, who said that there was a problem at one of the job sites. A slow leak, but it could wait until Monday. And Chris overhears this and he's like, I'll go to that job site on Monday morning by myself. Nobody else can go. I will go by myself to the job site, but nobody else can go. And they're like, okay, great. Fine. You do it.
Hashtag alibi.
Yeah. Well, hashtag where he dumped the bodies.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So hashtag premeditation.
That's what it was. Yeah.
So, he knew it was a one-person job. He knew nobody else needed to be there. He knew he'd have hours there, possibly. Fucked up. So.
But hashtag, like, that could be the trail that leads back to you.
Yeah, hashtag your fucking work truck has GPS on it. you dumb bitch. On Saturday the 11th, Chris took Nicole on a date to the Lazy Dog Sports Bar and Grill, where he gave her a Norelco beard trimmer. So here's the thing about that date, though. He paid with a card. Now, Nicole said up until this point, they actually didn't go out in public together very often. Like, those other two dates that I mentioned were pretty much the only two times they went out together in public. They usually hung out at her apartment. She said they had sex like four times a day.
Four times a day?
I don't even know. Like, doesn't your dick fall off?
Yeah, I don't know. Does she have beard-flavored nipples?
Basically. So, but that time he paid with a credit card. Now, this is August 11th, and on the 13th, they go missing. So, it seems like, if you're leaning towards the premeditation, which I am,
sure.
I think by that point, he was like, well, fuck it, I don't care if she finds out. Because that day, because Shanann did keep an eye on the bank account, and she's like, what's a $60-something dollar charge for dinner? And he's like, well, sure. Oh, well, I went to a Rockies game, and I had dinner. She's like, so she said, what did you order? So he told her. So she looked up the fucking menu. And she's like, that should have been like $25 for you. And he's like, well, I had drinks too.
Smart. Clever girl.
She's like, you motherfucker, you bought somebody else dinner. That was the dinner for two, and I fucking know it. She knew. She knew at that point.
Well, how could you not? I mean, come on.
Yeah. And so Nicole reported that it was unusual that he used a card because he was very adamant that he only used cash or gift cards when they did go out together.
He got sloppy about it.
Oh, he got sloppy. He didn't care anymore. So on Sunday, August the 12th, Chris texted that Cody Roberts again that he worked with to reassure him, I'm going to go to the job site in the morning. You don't have to go there. Everything's fine. On the morning of the 13th, Chris did in fact drive to site 319 where he was supposed to check that leak. So Troy McCoy arrived on site at about 8:40 a.m. and he noticed Chris was dressed unusually sloppily from his norm. So he said that normally he wore like a fitted shirt. He normally wore his newer like Red Wing boots to work, but day he was wearing old, like really old ratty boots. One of his pants legs was tucked inside the boot. One of them wasn't. He was wearing a super baggy shirt.
So he had on his first date attire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had on his...
I'm just trying to paint a picture
here. Yeah. I don't care if this gets dirty.
Yeah.
First date attire.
Yeah.
So, So Chris got there first by himself, and then after that, other employees, like, they had already gone to the office and they came out there to check it because he wasn't able to fix it. They all determined this isn't going to be able to be fixed the way that we thought it was going to be able to, so they're like, let's just move on to another job site or whatever.
Sure.
I don't get this. Chris is like, hey, dudes, I got to go take a shit over here, okay? I got to shit first. And they're like, Troy McCoy is like, I didn't think anything about it at the time.
Why wouldn't you think anything
about it? Why would you not think anything about it? Like, if you and I were going to the mall or whatever.
Sure.
And you're like, well, first I have to poop. I would expect you to go into the bathroom.
Yeah.
But he's like, he pulls his truck around the side of those oil tanks because he's going to shit first. And everybody's like, that's cool, man. Just take a crap out here.
Is there some kind of a place where you can go take a shit?
I don't believe so. I think it's just dirt and stuff.
I would rather... I don't understand. I don't know how men are, but I would...
Like, what is wrong with you guys?
Why?
Use a fucking toilet.
Why?
So, you know, they don't think anything about it or whatever, but now it's that he telling. Looks back it's on telling. It, he thinks he was burying some evidence there.
Yeah, it's telling.
So, on August the 14th, okay, so they go missing on the 13th.
Sure.
Chris then begins to do public news appearances or whatever.
Yeah, media spots and stuff.
Yeah. And then on August the 14th, Nicole spoke to police and she came clean about her affair with Chris. So Chris never told them about the affair until...
Wait, Nicole is a...
Oh, Nicole Kessinger.
Oh my God, I was like...
Not the friend Nicole. What? I know. Yeah. It's confusing because Shanann's very good friend, Nicole... Nikki. Atkinson, I think.
Nikki.
Yeah, but Chris also calls Nicole Kessinger Nikki. It's confusing. And then her son's name is Nicholas.
Yes.
And then the baby that Shanann was pregnant with was a little boy named, and they were going to name him Nico. Is that not a precious name?
I love Nico.
It's such a cute name. So, but anyway, so Nicole comes into the sheriff's department and she lets them know about her affair with Chris, except that she deletes all of her search history and all of her phone history with Chris before.
Hilarious.
So you you already said, but you removed text messages.
I deleted all of his stuff because he lied to me. I mean, that's what it was. It was the hurt that made me delete it. And then it was the lie that made me start questioning everything else he'd been telling me for the last few days.
And that's when you decided to come forward?
Yes.
Okay. So just for context,
yes.
When people delete stuff off phones, usually we go,
It wasn't malicious at all. He lied to me. It just hurt. Like, I had never felt like he'd ever lied to me before. And it was a big lie. I mean, right. Telling somebody that you're in the midst of a divorce and then you have a wife that has a 15-week-old baby on the way is a huge, huge thing. And I was very taken back. And I was just, it was hurt. And so at that point, I deleted it. I had a few more quick things to say to him, and then I just got rid of him. That's literally what I did. I just cut him out of my life. It would honestly been like a bad breakup kind of thing. Like, if none of this other stuff would have happened, that's what it would have been. That would have been the end of it.
The information was not destroyed because there was anything in there that would be harmful to you or potentially to Chris at this point, but harmful to you in particular. That's not what you did. Excuse my language. This guy's an asshole, so I'm getting rid of him, and I'm getting this stuff off my phone.
That was like me kicking him out of my life.
Okay.
And then, like I said, and then realizing that he lied, that was when I was like, okay, maybe his family is in danger, and they're not coming back, and they're not staying with a friend.
So, of course, she didn't delete it, like, malicious or anything. Like,
well, no, of course not.
No, she just because he lied or whatever. And according to her, and they went through all of her shit. He never mentioned that Shanann was pregnant, apparently. So she thought, I think she genuinely thought that they were getting a divorce.
I believe that.
Yeah, just wait. So,
oh, okay, never mind.
She deleted all of her search history. She deleted all of their messages to each other. But guess what? The police still found that stuff.
Because they can recover it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So among her search history and the things that she deleted were, man I'm having an affair with says he will leave his wife.
Oh.
And this is like early on in the situation. Obviously the wedding dresses. She spent 2 hours doing that. She started searching Amber Fry, which was the mistress in Scott Peterson's. So this is after the wife and kids are missing. Actually, it's after they found the bodies that she starts searching Amber Fry.
Gross.
Do people hate Amber Fry? What is the book deal Amber Fry got?
Book deal?
Yeah, she wants to know. Now, Amber Fry did not fucking know that Scott Peterson was married and had no idea.
I believe Amber Fry 100%.
Absolutely. She came forward and then she began working with the police to try to help them.
But this fucking Nicole was like trying to figure out like a way to
how could I profit
leverage
from this?
It yeah. into getting a career or a money deal.
Here's another one. Can cops trace text messages?
Oh, you dumb bitch. You dumb
yes,
bitch.
They can. How long do phone companies keep text messages, and difference between text message content and text message detail?
You dumb bitch.
Yeah. So police say that they don't think Nicole had any prior knowledge of what the crimes that were going to take place or anything like that, that she didn't know anything that happened. But I do think she fucking sucks because she obviously was trying to profit from an entire family's murder.
Yeah.
On August the 15th, officers responded to the Anadarko oil well site, the job site 319, where Chris had spent the first part of Monday morning, August the 13th, per the GPS of his work truck, just like Shanann's mom said.
Yes.
During this time, officers collected several pieces of evidence, including a tuft of hair from the thief hatch of an oil battery, parts of a rake, a bed sheet, and other items. Shanann's decomposing body was located in a shallow grave not far from the oil batteries, and she'd been buried in the fetal position and covered with only about 3 inches of dirt.
Oh my God.
So when they went through the house, the beds were all unmade. they did recover inside the house the fitted sheet, the comforter, the pillowcases of the master bed.
But it wasn't like the
top sheet was not there. Well, he, it was here. Yeah. So he wrapped her in it.
Oh my God.
And I believe that she was killed in that bed because there were like on that sheet, there were drag marks. He drug her in it. But there was also like mascara stains, you know, like she, I think that's where it happened.
Yeah.
So then
I feel like, I mean, not to be brutal and gross, but like a flat sheet would be a good way to wrap someone up, you know what I mean? Like
it's big enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. The bodies of the girls were discovered the next day. So what they had to do with those oil batteries, these are two very big tanks. And
how big are they? Like, because I'm imagining like a, I don't even fucking know, like a oversized garbage can. Is that what it is? Like an old drum? No.
It's very big.
Okay.
Let's see. Those two.
Like silos.
Yeah, they look like silos. So the next day is when the girls' bodies were discovered. And what they had to do, because there's so much oil in these things, they had to drain the oil out to fish the girls' bodies out.
Sure.
So what's particularly disgusting about this to me, and I'm sure to everybody, I mean, in addition to the fact that he killed his children, is that to put them down in these oil batteries, the opening was 8 inches wide. It's like,
it's not like, very big.
He shoved his two daughters in each in one. And he told the police that he knew that there was different amounts of oil in each one because the splashes were different. What the fuck is wrong with him? They recovered both of the girls wearing their 90s. One of them was pink. One of them was unicorn. One of them was wearing her little pull-up. I mean,
oh my God,
it's horrible. And the tuft of hair, he didn't have very much time that morning. By the time he got all the way out to that oil site before everybody else got there, I think he only had like an hour, maybe an hour and a half or something like that. So he had to dig Shanann's grave, and then he had to put these two girls in these oil batteries. So he's shoving them down in there, and
how did
some of
die?
The hair came off.
How
like
did they die?
He smothered them. So, I mean, it's just he was sloppy about it. I just can't imagine doing that to your child's bodies. Like, I just don't understand it. So Shanann was strangled in the early morning hours of August the 13th. She exhibited no defensive wounds. When they did her autopsy, there was nothing. I mean, the only thing that was on her body was the bruises on her neck from he strangled her with his hands. Yeah, I think so. But nobody knows they don't know the order that it happened in. It's very possible that he smothered the girls before Shanann even came home. He may have already smothered them. He may not. I mean, we don't know. But yeah, but what he said, you know, was that Shanann smothered the girls and then he killed her in a fit of rage. Well, if that had happened, first of all, it didn't, but if it had happened, there would be defensive wounds on Shanann. There would have been signs of a struggle. There was nothing. I think she was asleep. She
Absolutely.
Didn't know. And one of the girls had no defensive wounds, Cece. She didn't have any defensive wounds either, so I believe she was asleep.
Baby.
Yeah. Bella fought for her life. She had...
Oh, no.
Yeah, I've, like, got full body chills. It's awful. She had scratches on her. She had bruises on her. And the frenulum, like, the skin right here underneath your lip that attaches up here to the bottom of your nose, was ripped. She had a 1.5 centimeter laceration there. I cannot imagine Stop. The horror that little girl felt, thinking like, okay, this is my dad. Like,
I trust
you open
him.
Your eyes, yeah, and your father is standing over you, and then you're in a fight for your life. I mean, it's horrible. And he said that he smothered them until they were blue, so he knew that they were not alive anymore, because the police did ask him, is there a chance that either one of them was still alive when you put them in the oil batteries? And he said, oh, no, no, God, no. Like, that's merciful.
Well, and we have done enough of these cases, unfortunately, where, like, or watched enough of them where when you smother someone, it takes so many minutes.
It does. And he did that to each one of them. It's not like he sat there and took an assault rifle and just, you know, oh, it happened so fast. You've got to be each one. You've got to sit there and do that. And then you move into the next room and you do it again. And then you move it into the next room. It's just awful. So initially, you know, Chris took a polygraph. He failed it. He keeps saying, I didn't do anything to them. I didn't do anything to them. Obviously, they've got their bodies. They know what's going on. They know that he's had an affair. So initially, he says that he wants to talk to his dad first. He tells his dad.
I saw that.
Yeah, that Shanann killed the girls and then he killed her. And then finally, he pled guilty to all of the murders. And like at first he was telling his dad, I don't want to protect Shanann anymore. And then finally he's like, okay, I did it.
I saw, that's the one that I saw.
Yeah. So November the 6th is when he enters the guilty pleas. The plea deal allowed him to avoid the death penalty. Good for him. Which honestly, you kill your kids, you're in for a world of trouble in prison, I'm pretty sure. On November the 19th, he was sentenced to 3 consecutive life sentences plus 84 years for killing his wife and children. He received the maximum penalty for each of the 9 counts against him. And prior to sentencing, family members gave emotional statements to the court. Chris's mother, though, Cindy, she still believes that Shanann is the one who killed the girls. She doesn't.
Oh my God!
She refuses to believe that Chris did it. She says that Shanann is the one, is the baby killer, and Chris did what he had to do.
Cindy can suck my dick.
Yeah, she's a fucking piece of shit. And to top it all off, Chris Watts is getting all kinds of love mail from women in prison saying that he's so attractive and sending him like nudie pics and shit.
Gross. This is
he so... He murdered his family.
But this is so common because Ted Bundy. Men, yes, men are always like the object of every woman's affection.
I don't understand
it. I don't either.
He's not a horrible looking guy, but he's a piece of shit. Like,
well, take into account his personality and what the fuck he's done.
Exactly. Like, why would you as a person who values your own life want to then try to get to, I mean, obviously he's in prison, so I guess he can't hurt you, but you want to begin a relationship with somebody who
murdered
the very people that he's supposed to love and protect?
Yeah. What is the draw for you? But it's like, I don't know. Idiots. I don't understand why women don't know their worth and they don't know what they can get and they feel like they have to go for a Chris Watts. Like, why?
It's ridiculous.
And I don't blame Shanann because maybe he, because you can only believe what someone will tell you. But with these hard, cold facts, you know what you're getting.
Well, the thing with Chris is it seemed like everything was good. I mean, even if they had hard times or whatever, it wasn't until, and I don't think that Nicole knew anything about it or anything like that. I don't believe she
Nicole
was like,
or Shanann? Oh, Nicole, the,
okay. Yeah, the,
okay, I'm sorry.
I don't think she was like, you need to kill your wife. You need to get rid of her. You need to get rid of your kids, like whatever. But for him, that family unit was holding him back from what he decided was most important to him. And it flipped a switch in him.
Right.
He became a completely different and dangerous person.
But I don't love the fact that Nicole tried to like gain.
Oh no, I don't either. Yeah, at all.
I don't love.
I think she's a piece of
the
shit.
Path that she's chosen.
No,
because I feel like you can be a victim of your environment or you can profit from it in a very, very negative way. And I feel like that's, there was a crossroads for Nicole and she chose the complete bad one. So anyways. And I hope that, or we hope that you liked the way that we did this case. I don't know.
Yeah, but this was a tough case, so yes, we had to lighten it up a little bit.
And we're vulnerable about it, but thank you so much for always listening to us.
Thank you
so much for, we're going to post a fan.
Mandy Meow, thank you.
Oh my God. Our fan art Seriously, we have a fan art.
It's amazing.
It is so cute. I showed one of my clients today and they were like, that is so adorable.
She's so talented.
I know. Maybe we're going to like commission her to do more shit. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. We can't know these things, but exactly. Thank you so much for digging on us and loving us and appreciating our humor, because for the most part, we're always like, we're awkward.
Yeah.
But if we have a whole awkward army, cute, pound sign, awkward army.
Boom.
So thank you so much. We will see you on the flip side.
Catch you next time.
Bye.
Bye.